Take your Bibles and turn with me to a very familiar passage, Hebrews chapter 11. I walked in and saw all this remodeling going on, and I thought, you know, you can't hide the money. I'll tell you that right now. You just can't hide. It's everywhere. I'm really proud of you for taking steps to reach the next group of people. All of we have come to faith in Jesus Christ. So many of us who are here this morning, maybe you're here without the Lord, and this will be your day. But the truth is, there are a lot of people that we want to reach in these surrounding counties, and it looks to me like Benson Grove's on the move, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning and speak a little bit about the family. I am no authority on the family. I did look at this graphic, and I really liked it. But I was thinking to myself, I hope that picture is not of Billy with those short pants, because I honestly believe it would be so bright in here. It would blind us all, I fear. But no, I have a little picture of my family, if we can put it up. And I wanted to show you this. You can't see all the little heads, but there are 16 of us now sitting around the table. And I really wanted to say this. I began to preach. I am not an authority on this subject. Every person around that table is a mess, including my wife, Terry, who's sitting in the back there. But I'm going to tell you honestly, no perfect families, but God has laid out for us in a perfect book a pattern through which we can build and save our family. That's what I want to preach about this morning. Thank you so much for the graphic. Let's go back to Billy and his short pants, and then we'll be ready. Hebrews chapter 11. You will know, of course, that this is the passage of Scripture that we look to as the hall of faith. And if you're a person of faith this morning, this passage, in fact, probably it's the most worn part of my Bible, because I met someone many years ago as a little boy, never got really to know him well, but I've read everything he's ever written since then, because I saw in his life just as a young boy that this man had the kind of faith I wanted to emulate. His name was Manly Beasley. He was an old Southern Baptist evangelist from years gone by, and Manly walked with God in such an intimate fellowship and a communion with God like nobody I've ever met before or since. Manly had three terminal diseases in his body at one time. And each time the doctor said, call the family in. I'm multiple doctors. And Manly would always say, you know, if faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, then doctor, thank you for what you said. And I'm ready to go if the Lord's ready to take me, but I'm going to find out what Dr. Jesus has to say about it. And if he wants me, if he's ready for me, I'll know it, because he'll confirm it in his word. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. But Manly said he would look, and each time, I remember one time in particular, I hadn't planned to tell this, but it's a good story. It's a true story. The doctors had already really told the family, called them in. His wife had been there all day and had gone home for a little sleep. And he was laying there in the bed. Already some of his digits, some of his fingers had begun to fall off. I mean, he was in terrible shape. He had cancer and some other issues that were to have taken his life. But he was praying that night, and he said, Lord, is it time for me to die? Because if you'll show me, Lord, I'll be ready. I'm ready to see you. But if not, I'll believe you about that too. And as he was reading, it was like the Word of God. You know how the Bible sometimes, it's great. It's always truth. It's always God's Word. There are times when God speaks. In the Bible, it's called in the original word a rhema of truth. It's a quickened truth of God to your heart for that very moment. And Manly was reading, and as he was reading, he read this little phrase, and it talked about, you will see your children's children. He said, Lord, that's for me, ain't it? He just knew it was God speaking to him through his word. And Manly then began to take God at his word. He said, Lord, I'm not going to die, am I? I have not got any grandchildren. So therefore, I'm thanking you, Lord, that it ain't time for me to go yet till I have some grandchildren. I was watching Regina scoop that little boy under her arm a minute ago, and I was thinking, I'm trying not to covet in this room, but if your children and grandchildren are with you in the room, how many know we're blessed people? Amen. And here's what I heard in that story. Manly got on the phone, reached over and got his phone on that little table where they bring you food in the hospital, and he called his wife and he said, Marthy, quick, get over here. Well, boy, she jumped up. And this was back in the 70s where women would tease their hair real high. And her hair was headed in every direction. She thought he was dying. She rushed out the door, that hair everywhere, and grabbed something, threw it on. She got to the hospital and he was sitting up in the bed, and he said, guess what, Marthy? She She said, "What?" He said, "I'm not going to die." She said, "You mean to tell me you got me up out of the bed to bring me over here to tell me when the doctors have already told you, Manly, you're near home? You mean to tell me that you're, what do you," he said, "Look. Look at what the Lord spoke to me." Tears ran down his face. He said, "Look right there. I've not seen my children's children yet." And guess what? That doctor a year later walked in the back of a church in Texas where Manly stood up to preach. I want you to know something. Now, I know, I appreciate doctors. I love every one of them, love all the ones that are in our church. And if you're here today, I thank God for you. But I'm going to tell you something. He's the one that knows. And he's the one in charge. And the reality is, God speaks through his word. Now, my message is a family when faith to save the family. That's what I'm going to preach in just one little verse in this text. Don't worry, I'm not going to be long. One man already told me in the back, "Keep it short, Brother Tom." I mean, this morning, keep it short. So I'm going to do it. And I know we're also recognizing the families in a little while. But I want you to see in the beginning of this text, before we get to verse 7, what the Lord has to say to me and you. And it may be one of those rhema, one of those quickened truths to you. Because some of us might be standing at the door. Maybe it's not death, but it's some other major decision that must be made. Notice what he said in verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1, first word, "Now faith is the substance." You know, a lot of people when they're quoting this, they quoted, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's not right. The Lord allowed that little word "now" to be put in there for you right now. God can speak as, I mean, get ready, here's a good place for an amen. God can speak right now just like he did back then. In fact, he is speaking. He really is. Right now, faith is your substance. When God speaks, you can believe him and take him at his word. Do you believe that? Amen. Now watch this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's where most people live. They just hope. I hope something will happen. The evidence of things not seen. And then he said this. This is where the word's connected. By it, by what? By faith. The elders, everybody in the rest of this text, obtained a good report. What? They obtained a good report. Yes, they got their word. They got their truth. They got an answer from heaven. And when they did, they believed it. When Abel got his word from God, he's the first one mentioned in the text, he believed what God said when his daddy told him about a blood sacrifice. And so he brought an animal and not just fruits of the field. When Enoch got his word, he just walked right off into heaven with God. When Abraham got his word, he went off, left all that he had, looking for a city who hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And the text I have for you this morning in verse 7, Noah got his word when God said, "Noah, I want you to build an ark and I want you to save your family." Will you look at verse 7? The Bible says in, well, look at verse 6. This is a familiar verse for all of us. But without faith, it is what? Impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, here's our, everything I'm going to say is in this little verse right here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Look at this. To the saving of his house. Faith to save the family. Father, I believe you spoke to our pastor, Brother Billy, about this very day. I know you did. I believe, God, that though I'm nothing, I have a word this morning, and he knew I was the one supposed to preach this morning. He heard from you, Lord, and I pray you take this truth that you've put in my heart this morning, in your word first, for every one of us. And I pray you won't let me mess it up, but that you, through your servant, would deliver it in a way that the Holy Ghost can use it to save a family in this room or a future family. Maybe there's a boy or a girl in this church whose mom and dad or grandmother and granddad will get this faith truth today. And their family, their legacy, will be different because of it. God, give us faith to save the family. In Jesus' name, amen. It's just two or three little truths. I'm not here just to preach on faith. I'm here to preach on faith that saves the family. I want you to look at that verse one more time. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Look at what happened. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. God said, because I'm going to use you in such a way to save your family, 2,000, 3,000 years later, if he doesn't come, we're still going to be talking about this. Because the truth is, a family is a challenge. Would you agree with me about that? You know, the truth is, the greatest tool, I believe, one of the greatest tools God used in my life, in my sanctification, to make me a little more like Jesus, and he's still got a ways to go, has been my family. Me and Terry, we laugh about it, but Vance Havner said, a couple sometimes, a husband and a wife, are like sandpaper to each other. You know what I mean? Now, all of y'all act like you never have a disagreement. Look at you. You look so good with your big old King James Bibles and all of it and your best Sunday go-to-meetings on. But I got news for you. I know you. You're just like me. You're just like me and Terry. You have words sometimes. And you don't agree on everything all the time. But here's what I know. She's different than me. She's from the north, I'm from the south. We eat different. We think different. She's opposite of me. She makes me so mad sometimes. She reminds me of that story Floyd Andrews with the Gethsemane Quartet used to tell. He said when he first got married, they called him and said, you're drafted. He said, well, I'll come. They said, I want you to be downtown, Greensboro, North Carolina, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. He said, okay, me and Penny will be there. He said, sir, you don't understand. You can't bring your wife with you. He said, well, then I ain't coming. He said, I can't come if I don't bring her with me. She's the only one to make me mad enough to kill somebody. I won't be any good to you in the war if you don't let me bring her with me. That's what Floyd would tell all these years ago. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you something. There are no perfect marriages and there are no perfect families, but the Bible here says that there is a way when we put our eyes on Jesus and lay hold on His promises that we can save the family. My family's precious to me. I believe your family's precious to you. You might say, Brother Tom, you don't know the mess my family's in right now. Well, I got news for you. You don't know what the Lord said about how He can save your family and how He can work in your family. How can He redeem your family? All these stories start coming into my heart. Here's the only problem I have an old man to preach. We got the stories, don't we, Billy? You got them, man. I love to hear you preach because you got more stories. And I'm going to get in the text now. It won't be long when I get there. But I remember my little mother praying. She's 97 years old. She'll be listening to this message. She hears Billy preach every Sunday, but she'll hear it next week on WCKB. That's the only thing her radio's put to. She's blind mostly, and she can't get at other stations, so she'll be listening to this next Monday. But let me tell you, my mother prayed for her boys. There were three of us. I'm in the middle. The Lord saved me when I was younger. Both my brothers struggled, boy, with sin. They went the way of my daddy, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and she stormed the gates of hell. She thundered at heaven, and she begged God to save her boys and not let them go to hell. And I remember when my first year here, my little brother, who had made a profession of faith just weeks before, literally, walked down the aisle in our church. Just before I went to Dunn, I was sitting on the platform, Brother Billy, leading the singing in my home church, Kerwin Baptist Church in Kernersville, North Carolina. My mother was in the choir. And there was a woman sitting beside her. When my brother walked in, he had hair down to here. Blue jeans on that if he took them off, they could probably stand up by themselves. You know, I mean, they didn't believe in washing them back then in the hippie days. Some of y'all don't remember that. Some of y'all were hippies. I can tell by looking at you. But my brother was lost. My mother had prayed and prayed, and that morning he walked in the door and she gasped, and the woman beside her said, Lord, have mercy. This is a typical Baptist in the choir. Look what just walked in that door. It's a wonder mother didn't slap the fire out of her. Let me tell you what my mother did say. Yeah, she said, look, that's my baby boy back there. And I was praying and she was praying, Lord, save him this morning. And I'm glad that morning our pastor, Joe Myers, didn't stand up and tell some little sermonette and carry on. He preached the gospel of the blood of Jesus Christ and his power to save through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. And down the aisle walked my little brother and mother, come over that choir thing, or around it one way or the other, and fell in that altar and wept as my brother, and I was there with him too, asked Jesus to save his soul. Within just a few weeks I would be in the town of Dunn, and I was living in a little apartment over there, and they came to tell me my little brother was dead, killed in a car accident. But here's what I know, he's waiting for us on the other side because of the prayers of a godly mother when God saves the family. But it wasn't just him. My older brother, he'd gone to Vietnam and he was on drugs and struggled with some other things before he ever went, mean, and been in jail and everything else. When he went to Vietnam, it got worse. LSD, other strong and hard drugs would take over his life. When he came back, his life was a mess. He struggled and he struggled and he needed the Lord, but he didn't want anything to do with it. He wouldn't let me talk to him about it. Wouldn't let mother talk to him about it. She just kept on praying, and my brother died in 2010, and about 6 or 8 months before he died. Boy, I'm talking about God's grace this morning. I'm in the voting booth. Literally in the booth at the Dunn Middle School voting. And I had an old flip phone in them days. Y'all remember the flip phones? Some of you still got them. I saw them on the way in. I had that flip phone, and I you ain't supposed to talk to nobody when you're in that voting booth right by yourself, but I went ahead and flipped it. It was my brother. He didn't say hello. He never called me, I don't think, once before, maybe, if that, on the cell phone. He said, "Why does it work for some and not for others?" I said, "You're under conviction." He said, "I don't know about that." I said, "You are. You're under conviction. I'm coming down there tonight." And I went by and picked up two boys from our church, Kevin Strickland and Jeff Hamburg, Tim. Picked them up. They had both been down some hard roads. We prayed and cried all the way down there. When I got to Surf City, my brother fell out, not far from where you live, fell down on the floor and wept his way to God because of the prayers of my mother. I'm telling you, God can save the family. Within just a few months, he would die. What am I saying? I'm saying to you, if you've given up, you need to get right with God this morning, because there's a reality that God has the capacity to save your family. No matter what you're going through or any of the rest, nobody of those kids that are going to be born in the future that ain't even born yet. I want to give you three or four things. Number one, I want you to notice in this little verse, first of all, the Father's warnings. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Storms were coming. Judgment was coming. Eternity was coming. You remember the scene? It's such a wicked day. God is about to destroy the earth because of their wickedness. And in that very moment, God comes to Noah and he's warning Noah of the things that are coming in the future. The Father's warnings. Can I give you this morning just briefly a few warnings to fathers and to mothers? I was listening to something this morning and I was thinking, oh, may this be the prayer of my heart. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. Hey, if you're going to save the family, if you're going to have faith to save the family, and God's going to use you to be a part of this, I want you to listen, first of all, of the Father's warnings. What's coming? Storms are coming. Judgment's coming. The end of time is coming. Death is coming. Hell is coming for those that do not know Jesus. Well, what kind of warnings, Brother Tom, what kind of alarms would you sound for us this morning? Well, dads, it's not time to delegate your leadership to your wife or to some school, Christian school or otherwise. It's time. You've got to be careful not to feel disrespected. The Bible says in Ephesians that men are to love their wives, and wives, see that you respect or reverence your husband. If you don't feel respected, that still doesn't give you an out. I'm warning you, it's not time to give up. It's not time to stop loving and pursuing your wife. It's not time to keep teaching and loving and training your kids and reading the Word of God to them. What are you saying, Brother Tom? I heard a man say on a podcast just today that our brother sent me. Here's what he said. He said, "I want my children to know that if they don't know anything else about Daddy, my Daddy loves Jesus Christ." and He loves me, and He won't rest until I love Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how much you play ball with them or where all you take them or any of the rest you do, if your kids don't. I'm sounding a warning this morning, Daddy, Granddaddy. They ought to know my granddaddy loves God. I hear him in there in the prayer closet. I think I've said this here before, but my alarm clock in the mornings, my mother married 3 years after my daddy died. My alarm clock was hearing my stepdaddy call my name before the Lord in prayer in the mornings as a teenage boy. Hard to get into a lot of mess when you're hearing that every morning. And he's putting them big old arms around you and telling you God's got a plan for your life. And I want you to love him and know him every day, every day, every day. You sit down today to lunch, take a minute just to read a little scripture, just one verse or two, and talk about how much you love Jesus. And by the way, be real in it. And for the record, they know, your kids know you're a mess. Admit that to them. I am a mess, but I love him with all my heart. I'm not perfect, but I love him, and I want you to love him. I'm sounding a warning, Daddy, Granddad. I'm looking at some of your grandchildren. I'll tell you one thing. Mine might wander off, and yours might wander off for a little time or all the rest, but I'll tell you what they never will forget. They won't forget that tear in Grandmama's eyes and Granddaddy's eyes, and they won't forget those prayers and those sermons and that old-time way. They're not going to forget it. Just this week, our 20-year-old, almost 21-year-old grandson texted and talked about how he missed his grandmama and granddaddy. I'll tell you some of what they miss. It's not just the money we give them. It's not just the gifts and the little vacations. It's they know we're with God, and they like to be around where God is. Oh, listen, I'm sounding a warning. Mom, can I sound a warning for you, grandmothers and moms and wives? You ever feel unappreciated? Of course you do. You ever battle wrong thoughts? I don't feel loved. You ever feel like my needs are not being met? Hey, go to the throne with all that. I'm sounding an alarm for you. Fall in love with Jesus all over again and pray for that old hard-headed man you live with, that God will get a hold of him. You know, when I saw something in the scriptures not long ago, my God shall supply all your need. He didn't say your husband would or your wife would. You go to God and say, Lord, you know the needs you made me with. If there's some unique ones that he's to meet or she's to meet, Lord, I want you to please speak to them about it. Somebody asked me in one of these marriage enrichment weekends that me and Terry have done in years gone by. They say, well, you say you just go in there and pray when your wife's not meeting your needs? I say, yeah, I do. He said, do you pray real loud so she can hear it? Oh, God, please help Terry. I said, no, I don't do that. Don't you do it. That'll make her mad. I'm sounding an alarm, though. Are you listening to me? Did you know, I'm telling you, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You don't know what's coming. We didn't know 2 years ago that Terry would lay on her in a critical place for weeks and nearly go to heaven. We didn't know God was going to allow our little precious daughter-in-law, Brooke, to be in stage 4 cancer a few years ago. He didn't have to touch him. He did. But had he not, or had he would have still been God. And all I'm telling you is, here's some warnings. One last warning for the children and the students and the teenagers in the room. Do you know you're going to be tempted to roll your eyes and to disobey and to be rebellious, and you're going to struggle with truth and wonder if everything Daddy told me, if everything Mama told me, if everything my preacher preached was truth? Because it's going to be challenged all through your life in every college class you ever go to. Let me sound an alarm. Down deep, you know it's real. You know it's truth. You know, because if you're saved, the Holy Ghost lives in you. I'm sounding an alarm for you. Don't let this world take your thoughts and your feelings. I watch young people all the time. Their mamas and the daddies do their best to provide for them the best they can, but because they can't have the name brand this or the new car when they get a little older. Our kids said they were humiliated when they drove what they did to Midway High School in Sampson County. They come home, all three of them drove the same thing. It's what we had. We had an old, about 20-year-old conversion van. Somebody else had wore it out before we got it. You know what I'm talking about? It had faded paint on it. And one of them came home one day, I can't remember which one it was, and said, "Daddy, it's embarrassing to us. Can't you please buy us, one of us at least, something to drive? Our friends are pulling up in new Camaros and Mustangs and such, and we drive our living room up there every morning." I said, "Yeah, but when you got a place to go with a bunch of them, which vehicle they want to take?" Hey, look, young people, can I just say something to you? One of these days your mama's going to be gone and your daddy's going to be gone. You can't see it right now because you can't hardly see beyond the tip of your nose, but I want to challenge you right now. I'm sounding an alarm. Faith to save the family. Hey, we need to have daddies with faith and mamas with faith and grandmamas and granddaddies with faith and boys and girls with faith and students with faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, their storm's coming. Everything's not going to stay perfect. Hey, look, whether you know it or not, or you're watching what's going on the national, international horizon, we could be plunged into war in any moment. Everything could change all around us. But the one thing that remains the same is Jesus and Him crucified. He's the same yesterday, today, and He'll be the same tomorrow. Do you believe that? Number one, the Father's warnings. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I love this phrase. Moved with fear. What moved Noah? Can I tell you what it was? It wasn't the fear that you and I associate with that word of kind of terror of an abusive father about to bring down his wrath on his children. Oh, no. For Noah, the fear of God was something totally different. Now, if you're lost, there ought to be a fear and terror of God. The Bible talks about because of the terror of God, we convince or we bring men in. We tell them about the gospel. But if you're saved, that kind of fear is gone. That's gone. But the new kind of fear is this. This is the kind of fear a believer ought to have. This is the kind of fear that moves us in faith. Listen to this. The fear of God for we who are saved is such an awe, A-W-E, and wonder. And here's the big word, and love. We love God so much that we don't want to doubt Him. We don't want to disobey Him. You know why? Here it is. Are you listening to me? We don't want to doubt Him. We don't want to disobey Him because, Lord, help me. Oh, I know the devil don't want you to hear this truth. Boy, I just went blank as a, but I ain't quitting here till I get to the truth. Here it is. We don't want to disappoint Him. You ever had somebody that important in your life? Maybe a parent, a grandparent, or a preacher? And if you thought you disappointed them, I'll never forget, I pulled a little prank in high school, Christian school. My pastor, Joe Myers, called me in with the principal there. And he looked right at me. He laughed about it later. When I was a grown man, he called me in. He said, "Look, you remember that time when you scared that science teacher? You got back in the drawers and she was real nervous. You remember when you pushed that drawer out in the middle of the class? There was nobody back there and it looked like a spirit or something got it and she freaked out and ran out the door and quit and never came back." I said, "Yes, sir, I remember." He said, "I laughed so hard about that during those days." I said, "Well, you didn't laugh that day." He said, "No, no." He said, "I knew God had something for you and I had to help you learn what it meant to disappoint someone you had confidence in." The fear of God is loving Him so much we don't want to disappoint Him or be disciplined by Him. That's what Noah felt like. When God said, "Hey, I want you to build this ark." What kind of man? Have you been to the ark up in Kentucky? Raise your hand if you've been there. Oh, a lot of us. Let me tell you, just the monumental task of that massive work God called him to do. But he was moved with the fear of God and he did it anyway. You know what? We don't have fear of God in this land. Lost people don't fear God like they ought to. And the church, the believers, don't fear God either. We don't love Him like we should. Disappointing Him don't bother us near as bad. I'm telling you, if you're going to save the family, it'll start with the Father's warnings. It'll continue with the fear of God. But it moves quickly. Number three, notice the next thing. He said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, By faith, Noah, not seen as yet, moved with fear. Look at this. Prepared an ark. Hey, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Lord, what's an ark? It's a big old boat. Because it's going to rain. Lord, what's rain? It's water coming down from heaven. Never been water before. You say you believe that? I absolutely believe it. Mr. Ken Ham says, and I don't believe it just because of him. It just makes sense. What in the world would cause somebody to live 969 years like Methuselah? I'll tell you how. All of the water, it was like a greenhouse effect here upon the earth, which is why reptiles would look like dinosaurs if they lived hundreds and hundreds of years. It made sense to me. The Lord watered the earth until the rain came. There's rain coming. Lord, what's rain? What's water coming down from heaven? And it's going to flood and kill everybody down here except the ones you get in that ark. Number three, not only the Father's warnings and the fear of God, but I want you to see the faith of Noah. It might be the teenager in your family that has faith to save the family. Hey, I've seen this. Mom and dad are lost, or they're saved, but they're so far away from God, they ain't walked with Him in so long, they don't pray, they're not in the Word, but that young person comes back from camp and they've got the fire of, by the way, that's why we ought to have the sharpest people in our church working with our students. It's why we ought to have the front row, the front line people. Because God gets a hold of one of them. How many times have we seen God change a family because God got a hold of a boy or a girl? I'm thinking of the Ted Adams family, Terry, today. Oh, I remember when Myron Adams got saved. He's a doctor now over at the Benson Medical Center. But he came to Judgment House and he heard the gospel and he fell under conviction. And he got saved. God started working in his family. Mama did, Daddy did. Here come the aunts and the uncles. God began to work. And it all started with one. It can be a young person that has faith. It can be a mama who has faith. Brother Tom, I'm about to give up. I'm married to, my mother was too, married to a drunk, married to a man wanting nothing to do with God, but she wouldn't let her boys go to hell. Hey, that little excuse is flimsy. I'm sorry for what you're going through, and I know it's a mess. But it won't hold water when you stand before God. How hard it was. God gave you those young'uns. God gave you that family. God gave you that husband. Mom, I'm telling you, some of the greatest prayer warriors that I've ever known have been women that moved the arm of God in prayer for their families. Could be a wife or a mother or a grandmother. Saves the family. But here's what it ought to be. It ought to be the one the Lord put as head over the family. Now, it ain't always that way, but it ought to be. Oh, if I had to sound one more little warning, I'd say I wish men would be men again. I'd like to see a generation of men of God rise up in the church and love and lead in that order. In grace, not demand, not be not have them under their thumb, but to love them and lead them, all men of God in this room and young men who will one day lead families. You be the one to have faith in God. You see faith in this text? I hope you do. Look at the first word. By faith, Noah. How about this part? Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I love that phrase. You know what, Brother Billy? We have to see it before they see it. What are you talking about? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about faith. Faith doesn't operate in the seen. Remember that scripture? The things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Somebody had to see it. You know what? God saw it first. And then He said, Noah, I'm going to let you see it. And Noah had faith. Faith in God. The faith of Noah. And when God said, I want you to build it this way, I want you this, the size, I want you to put pitch on the inside, I want you to... Oh, Noah saw it. Now, nobody else saw it. It'd be 100 years before his wife would see it, before his children would see it, but it would be the salvation of his family by faith. It all happens by faith. Well, how am I going to operate in faith? You'll never operate in faith till God speaks. Just like God spoke to Noah, he'll speak to you. Did you know God loves to speak to his children? You say, how do you know that? I know it because of a lot of verses, but let me give you one of them. John 10:27. Jesus said these words, either we believe him or we don't. My sheep hear my... That'd be enough for me if that was all it was, but that ain't all he said. Number one, you got to be a sheep. If you're not hearing God, you might be a sheep. You might not be a sheep. Let me tell you, there's some liars in the church. Every church that pretend to be something and they're not. And God Almighty knows. God Almighty knows. He said, number one, you got to be a sheep if you hear God's voice. Number two, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You got to be in a, no. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. You got to be in a relationship with the shepherd. That word know is an intimate word. You got to be in an intimate relationship with the shepherd. You want to hear God save your family? You got to know him. And number three, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Number three, you got to be surrendered to follow him. If the Lord says stop it, you have to stop it. He'll keep speaking. If the Lord redirects you to lead your family, you say, but I haven't done it and it's been so long and I fear they won't follow me. Hey, look, stop the fear, engage the faith and begin to love and lead your family. Faith to save the family. And then I'm done with this one. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, here it is, to the saving of his house. Number four, I want you to see the fulfillment of God's plan. This is the fulfillment. Do you think God created families so he could send a bunch of them to hell? By the way, God never created anybody to send them to hell. Anybody tells you different, it's a lie to you. God sent his son to save the world. Amen. Oh, yes. Anybody goes to hell, go to hell because they choose to disobey and trample the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because God created some to go to heaven, some to go to hell. That's from the pit. But I'm going to tell you what he wants to do with families. He wants to save the family. And all it takes is one. It didn't take Noah and his wife and Ham, Shem. It didn't take any. It just took one. One person that would hear God and have faith. Will you be that person? In a moment, I'll give a simple invitation. It won't be lengthened, maybe one verse, at the most two. Our friends will play with no singing. And I'm going to ask you from all over this building to step out and say, if God wants to use me, I will have faith. I will hear God and I'll have faith to save my family. Now don't come if you don't mean it. But obey God this morning. Hear his voice. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, I'm strongly convinced that this was what you wanted to say to this church, to every church this morning, when families are broken and struggling, overwhelmed, confused, they don't know where to turn. Lord, you have a way that we can save the family by faith. May in the name of your Son, Jesus, faith be engaged by folks stepping out and walking down these aisles, whether to kneel or to stand, acknowledging that I will be that person in my family, whether anybody else does or not, or I'll stand in faith with the one who does. Lord, we believe this will result in many souls coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, when I think about Jonathan Edwards, when they looked at his life, his legacy, there were all those people that had been saved and were serving in all kinds of places because somebody had faith to save the family. May that be true this morning. I believe it, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together with our heads bowed while our sister begins to play. In just a moment, may I ask you to come, either stand here with me or find a place in the altars. Just come. Will you do it right now? Don't wait to see who else does. Come on. Young people, you come. God's spoken to you. Just come. Grandmom and granddaddy, it may just be you. You come. Daddy, mom, you say, well, I'm not married yet. Well, it's time now to make that decision before you ever do get married. Just stand here or find a place to pray. Either way, let's just stand together. We'll have a prayer in just a moment. Oh, God, I don't want to lose my family. Maybe there's a man in this room or a boy or a girl or a mom or a dad that's lost. You can't save anybody because Jesus hadn't yet saved you. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're in a good church that preaches the same old time gospel week after week. Jesus loves sinners like me and like you, and He'll redeem you by His grace. He'll do it this morning. I hope there ain't nobody saying I got things to do, seeds to sow and life to live before I make a decision like this. It may be too late. We're going to pray at the end of this verse. If you're here without Jesus, here's the great challenge. In a few moments, they're going to recognize families, and here's what I want you to do. I'm going to be standing at the back. There'll be some others. If God's spoken to you, you just come back and say, hey, I'm not saved. I've never given my heart and life to Jesus. My life never changed. I need to be saved today. Jesus, I need Him to come and rescue me. I need a Savior. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the sweet Spirit of God. From the first song, we are a part of Your family to this very moment. Thank You that You come. You inhabit Your people. You've come this morning. Thank You for this church, Lord. Oh, the lighthouse it's been for You. But in the name of Jesus, I pray for every family around this altar. I pray for the next generation beyond them and the next beyond them, should You not come. And I pray for those in their seats that there'll be somebody in their family. Lord, some of us right now are thinking back to that old man or that woman or that boy that had faith that changed everything, and that's why we're here right now. Faith in You. So do it, Lord, day after day. Just like the sins of the fathers visit the third and fourth generation, we pray the blessings of them and the faith of them would visit the same way. In the name of Jesus, for the sake of the gospel and Your glory, we pray. Amen and amen.